I read a story this week about a young 6-year-old boy who was doing his math homework, and his mother would watch him doing the homework, and then she would hear him say, "Alexa, what is 5 minus 3? And Alexa would say 2, and he would write down the answer. You know, technology makes life easier. It's great. I mean, if you have a cell phone, you can turn on your AC, control the temperature, lock the door, turn off your lights. We have Amazon delivery. We even have grocery deliveries. We have fast food delivery. I mean, it's fast food already. Now you can get it delivered. And as wonderful as it sounds, I truly believe this technology and ease of life is making us lazy. It's making us lazy. You don't need to go to the bank or the post office. You don't need to go shopping. You don't need to go out anymore. And because of that, you don't interact with other people. When we are lazy, when we don't engage people in daily life, we miss out on the opportunities and blessings of life. In fact, when you're lazy and you stay at home, you don't do anything, you stop growing as a person. Well, it's the first Sunday of the year, the new year, and I kind of think about, reflect about last year and where we're going this year, and I have noticed a shifting trend in our church over the last few months, and I truly believe, as your pastor, that our church is getting lazy. We're getting spiritually lazy, and if we become spiritually lazy in our faith, we will not grow as a Christian. If we're lazy, we lose our spiritual strength and our muscles, they atrophy, and we can't do everything God wants us to do. So today, my sermon title is Be Faithful. I'm encouraging and reminding all of you to be faithful. We see this in Matthew 24:45. You want to pull out your sermon outline? Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of his household, in his household, to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. Jesus is talking to you and me. And he says, who is faithful? Who is wise? Who is doing the work that I have assigned you? Every believer has a divine responsibility to do the work of Christ on this earth. God calls us to be faithful servants. And this is my definition of faithful. If you look at this slide, faithful means we serve with the right motives, in the right way, at the right time. Does that make sense to you? We have the right motives. We are motivated by love and not lust or selfishness. We love God. We love people. We do it the right way, the wise way, based on God's word and God's direction and the Holy Spirit guidance. And we don't rely on the devil's shortcuts or the world's politically correct way. And we do it at the right time. The right time is now. It's not when I feel like it or when I'm in the mood. You know, when I go fishing, and I love to fish, as you hear me all the time, but sometimes I get lazy. You know, we're not catching fish, so I don't pay attention, and my next cast, instead of putting it right next to that rock where fish usually like to hang around rocks, I miss it by 3 feet, and so the fish doesn't bite. And then when my line's in the water, a fish will come and give me a gentle tap, but I'm not paying attention, my rod's laying on the boat deck, so I miss out on things. I miss the bites. And if you miss the bites, you won't hook any fish. When I become spiritually lazy, I don't anticipate anything from God. I don't expect God to speak to me because I'm not listening. And I'm not watching for where God is working because I'm not watching where God is working, I won't join Him there. I won't notice that visitor at church who looks lonely or someone who has a need. And so we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in this coming year. Now, my first point says this. Our faith is revealed in tangible and meaningful ways. Your faith must be tangible. It's not just something inside. It's something that is expressed outside. Tangible means your faith is expressed in real and physical ways. And that's what I'm talking about today. I know there's a spiritual way to exercise faith, but the be faithful today is about being tangible and meaningful. Tangible means your faith is expressed in real and physical ways. It's more than just, well, I'll pray for you, and I will pray for you, but sometimes we need to do a little more. You must meet a real need when you are faithful. It might be teaching a class of third graders and teaching them and spending that time. Maybe it might be listening to someone tell you their problems and their needs. Maybe it's inviting someone to worship with us and sitting with them and taking them to lunch afterwards. See, that's real and that's tangible. Yes, you read the Bible. That's good. Yes, you pray every day. Maybe you come and sit in service. But if that's the extent of your faith, it is lacking. It must be real, something you can touch and see. And the second part is your faith must be meaningful. That means it must be directed at a person or persons. It's not just like you serve yourself, but you serve someone else. And that means you serve someone in a way that pleases God. Maybe it provides something for them. Maybe it encourages them. Maybe it enables them to make friends. But it's a meaningful way. It's tangible and it's meaningful. Mark 9:41. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Jesus says giving a cup of water to a person in need is tangible and it's meaningful. It is proof that you belong to Jesus. Giving a person a cup of water is not a high standard. I mean, that's like the simplest thing we can do. You know, people come to church during the week and ask for a cup of water. Isn't that interesting? You know, can we use your drinking fountain? Do you have a cup of water? You know, can I have a bottle of water? And we give it to them. It's a tangible and meaningful. Jesus says you have to see the need and meet it in a tangible and meaningful way. You know, the problem is that many of us Christians have big heads. We have big heads full of God's Word. And we keep filling our head with God's Word, but we have tiny hearts. And our hearts are so tiny that we don't express God's love to people. And we have tiny hands because we don't serve people. God says, be faithful. Be faithful in tangible and meaningful ways. And the three areas I want to talk to you today is in point two. Be faithful in your worship. Worship is tangible and meaningful when we are here in corporate worship. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, and let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Paul's encouraging us here to hold on to Christ and to meet together and encourage each other in corporate worship. In corporate small groups and together. It's not by ourselves. And we are to spur, you know, provoke each other, encourage each other to love and good deeds. That's one of the goals of corporate worship. That's one of the needs when we worship together. You ever look at this picture? You ever seen a picture of a fireplace or a campfire? The logs of a fire burn brightly together. One log cannot burn by itself. If you were to take one of these logs and put it out on the hearth in front of the fire, it will go out because logs burn brightly together. When we worship together, when we're loving, listening to each other, listening to God, we burn brightly together. Larry led our Sunday school meeting this morning and he taught and we shared and we encouraged each other. We burn brightly together. When you stop worshiping together, your spiritual fire will dim and eventually it will go out. When I see people at weddings and funerals that I haven't seen in a while and I find out that they're not walking with God, they're not worshiping God in regular worship, I can tell their fire has gone out. The past 6 months of our Sunday morning worship, I believe we have been lacking in our worship and inconsistent in our attendance and in our desire to worship God. And you know, as your corporate worship goes, so goes your relationship with God. As your corporate worship, Sunday morning worship goes, so goes your worship with God. Irregular worship, when you're inconsistent in worship, it's a symptom that there is something wrong with your faith. See, when you come to worship, anticipation and expectation is the key. You anticipate meeting the Lord and singing praises to Him and thanking Him. And you anticipate God speaking to you. You come expecting a word. Maybe it's a big word that shifts your life, calls you into ministry. Maybe it's just a tiny nudge that moves you in a certain direction. I like to listen to the music and other people teach because it provokes me to think about a thought that I'm going to put in a sermon 3 weeks from now. And it's cool when God gives that to me. As your corporate worship goes, so goes your relationship with God. Maybe you'll come and God's Word will convict you of something you need to stop doing or start doing. Maybe God's Word will challenge you to serve. Maybe God's Word will give you comfort because you've been hurting or you're sad. Give God your best time. Come on time. Come ready to worship. I ask you today, is your corporate worship tangible and meaningful? You're here. You're loving people. You're expressing your appreciation to God in a meaningful way. The second thing we see is that be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your giving. I don't talk about giving a lot, but I wanted to bring it up today because I noticed another trend in our church. Our giving for 2018 dropped 8% from 2017. Now, 2017 was our biggest giving year we've ever had. And then it's dropped 30,000, 40,000 this year. And then not only that, we had to replace or repair $35,000 worth of equipment, you know, giant ACs and stuff like that. And so the first time in my ministry, our budget's tight. We keep a reserve, but the reserve's being eaten away at. And it's funny that we've been sharing this with the leaders. It's not a crisis, but it's something we need to act on. We need to be concerned about our giving and our spending habits. And it's funny because we shared this with the leaders, and one of the first responses was, it's really weird. Whose fault is it? And I'm like, it's my brother's fault, of course. You know, he's the default guy. My brother, no, I'm like, why would that be the first word? I said, it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. In seminary, our demographics have changed. In seminary, we are taught that every 5 years you have a new church. I mean, the people change and change over. And it's true in our church because my first 5 years are very different from the second 5 years and the third 5 years. Now I'm starting my fourth 5 years with you. And it's changed. But one of the things I've noticed, a lot of people have moved away. A lot of our young people have moved away out of state, somewhere else. A lot of our people in the Chinese and English side have retired. And, you know, once you retire, you don't make the income you used to. And so it's not anybody's fault, but it's also, maybe it could also be that it's a symptom that we have become lazy in our worship. Because if we are not consistent in worship, we are not consistent in our giving. And I also think that perhaps this is God's way of getting our attention, of provoking me as a pastor. Because I can honestly say that I have taken God's grace and goodness for granted. I mean, God's been good to our church. You know, I've never had to worry about anything. And God's been good and gracious, and maybe we've taken advantage of it too long. But see, I don't see this as an obstacle. I see it as an opportunity to be wise and to be faithful, to take steps to walk with the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul gave the Corinthian church these instructions about giving. Paul was coming to collect an offering to take to the Jewish church who was going through a famine. And he gave this instruction in 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections have to be made. Paul's saying, I want you to plan your giving. If you're going to be faithful, it must be planned. You set aside an amount every week or every paycheck that you are going to dedicate to the Lord. And it's in proportion to your income, not the same as somebody else's. So that when I come, and you know I'm coming, you don't look out the window, hey, you know, they don't know when Paul's coming. Hey, Paul's here, quick, get some money together, and you're reaching in your pockets, and when you do that, you give God your leftovers, right? God doesn't want leftovers. If we love God, we don't give leftovers. We plan our giving. 100% of our operating revenue comes from your giving. And if I believe that if we are truly faithful in our worship, we'll be faithful in our giving and we'll be just fine. Next week we're voting on a budget, and we're going to make some adjustments to it and make some plans in the days to come. Come to the next business meeting next week after the English service and hear about it, and let's vote on it. We just need to be faithful in our worship. We need to be faithful in our giving. Now, the third area where we need to have tangible and meaningful faith is serving. We need to serve. You know, in the past, if there was a maintenance issue in the church, I would just tell our secretary, Terry, just hire someone to do it. Just hire someone to do it. But perhaps this is God's way of saying, no, you do it. You know, maybe the congregation can serve in a tangible way by doing something that needs to be done. Serve in a tangible way with your hands to further the kingdom of God or to keep His church going. 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and with truth. You know, we worship God. We respond to God. He may convict us or challenge us or comfort us, but we respond by going and doing His work. Do you see someone who's lonely? Do you see someone who's hurting? Do you see a need? Will you serve them? We make the most difference in a person's life when we serve them with tangible and meaningful ways. It may just simply be the Word of God. Maybe it's something tangible like money or groceries. Are you spending time with someone other than your family and your friends? Are you spending time ministering to someone other than your family and your friends? If you are not, then you're not serving anyone. This year, this month, our small groups will be meeting again. I encourage you to join a small group because it's a great way to fellowship and to serve each other. It's a great way to interact and ask for prayer and to pray for people. We become the most like Jesus when we worship together, when we give, and when we serve. Be faithful. Now, if we look on in our next outline, in order to be faithful, number three says, the faithful attitude. We need a faithful attitude. Next week, I'm starting my series on living past your feelings and emotions. And I've been wanting to preach on it because a lot of people struggle with their feelings. And I've discovered a lot of people are not faithful to God simply because they don't feel like it. You know, the zeal is gone, or they don't feel God, or they don't feel like being there or being here with us. We know what we should do, but we don't do it because we don't feel like it. You know, to be honest, sometimes I don't feel like coming on Sunday morning. Sometimes I'm not in the mood. Sometimes I don't feel very spiritual. Sometimes I'm very tired. And my wife yells at me and says, get up, you're the pastor, you have to go. Great. But one thing I've learned is I'm disciplined. I know what I should do even when I don't feel like doing it. And so I go. And so I go and I'm blessed because when I come to worship, I'll hear something, someone will say something, someone will teach me something, the music will sing something to me, God will speak to me even while I'm speaking to you, and God touches me. And I've never gone away on a Sunday and said, God, see, I knew I wouldn't learn nothing. I knew you wouldn't speak to me. No, when we come and we're faithful, God touches us in one way or another. Or maybe I'll meet one of you who's not a believer and get a share of the gospel. Or I can counsel one of you to be stronger and to walk with God. There are three things about attitude that we need to have. The first one is your faithful attitude is committed. Committed. Commitment is the reason all of you get up every day to go to work for 50 years, right? Because of commitment. And because you need to go to work, and you know by going to work and being consistent in your work, it will bear fruit for you and your families. That's why we do it. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. I am persuaded that God is my Creator and my King, and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead, and that I am going to heaven, and I need to take as many of you with me as possible. So I am committed. I know that my God keeps his promises. I know that he died for me and rose from the dead. So I am committed to him today. My faithfulness carries me through those days when I don't feel like it, or when I'm unhappy, or when I'm sad. And how is your commitment to the Lord? When you're having a good day, can you say, I will trust in you, God? When you're having a bad day and everything's falling apart, can you say, God, I am going to trust in you. I'm going to worship you and walk with you and be your witness. The second thing we see of the faithful added, besides being committed, it needs to be consistent. We need to be consistent. You know, it's New Year's and everybody makes New Year's resolutions. Did any of you make any more? Or did you just give up? You know, this year I'm just going to make a resolution that I can keep. I will gain 10 pounds this year. I will gain 10 pounds this year because I tried to lose weight and I need to lose about 10 pounds to be very honest because I can tell. Everybody remarks that I'm getting heavier. I keep telling them it's muscle, but there's no muscle down here. And I was going to start my resolution, but you guys gave me 5 pounds of See's candy for Christmas. And then some of you gave me 5 pounds of cookies for Christmas. And the rest of you gave me, you know, gift cards to fattening restaurants. Someone gave me a Krispy Kreme card. Like, okay, you know, I just buy 2 dozen donuts and I feel bad if I don't eat what you gave me. See, I have an excuse. And so after this month, after I consume all these items, I will start my resolution. See what happens is we don't start, or we start and stop and start and stop. We need consistency. When we're faithful, we need to be consistent. That means we have to be disciplined. See, the farmer reaps what he sows. If the farmer goes out in the field and drops 3 little seeds in his field and walks away, he'll get maybe 3 crops. That's all he gets. But if he goes and he does the work and he plants thousands of seed, he will reap a good harvest. See, every good deed you do, every act of worship, every act of giving, every act of service is a good deed. You're either sharing the good news or you're sharing a good deed. And you're planting them in people's hearts. And if you do one good deed in 5 years, you're not going to see much fruit. But if you're loving people in big ways and little ways, sharing the gospel, touching their life, day after day, every day, even say good morning to the person at work and you're cheerful, every seed will bear, eventually you'll bear fruit. You'll see the harvest. We have to be consistent in our worship and our giving and our service. Every time you take a step of faith closer to God, obeying God, when you obey God, you move closer to Him. Every time you say, no, God, I don't want to do it, you take a step backwards. That's why many of you don't go anywhere in your spiritual life. You want to grow stronger and faithful. Day after day, we take steps of faith, big ones and little ones, and we move closer and closer to God. Then the third thing we see, our attitude needs to be cheerful. You know, maybe today you're going to go home, oh man, Pastor Terry made me feel bad. But okay, I'll do it. I'll do it because he made me feel bad. Don't do that, you know. If your worship, your giving, and your service is more of a burden than a blessing, there's something wrong with you. You need a heart exam. You need to get those arteries clogged out. Something is not right. Maybe it's because you're sinning. Maybe it's because you're being lazy. Maybe it's because you're letting your feelings beat you up. There's something wrong. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Everything we do must be with joy. It must make us cheerful because we want to do it. My daughters got mad at me for giving my grandkids too many gifts for Christmas. I said, sorry, that's my right. You know, it's in my contract, you know, grandfather contract. I give them as much as I want because it makes me happy. It makes me happy. And so I want to do more of it. I got like 20 Transformers in a box in my closet right now. My grandson, he goes, can I have them now? Sure, why not? Yeah, no, I didn't. I said, no, I'm sorry. When we are... Did I read this verse? Okay. Sorry. We are to serve cheerfully with joy, because when we serve cheerfully, joy removes the burden from the ministry. See, your ministry, it gets you tired. It's hard, but joy takes the burden out of the ministry. You know, worship team comes at 7 a.m. on or 6:30 a.m. on Sunday. It's amazing discipline, but I'm assuming it's because they have joy worshiping, leading you in worship. When we serve reluctantly, when we serve under compulsion, our ministry becomes a burden, and that burden becomes bitterness. How many of you in ministry today, you're teaching or serving somewhere, you say, well, why can't some people help me? You know, what's wrong with everybody else? That means you're not serving cheerfully. Instead, your statement should be, man, I want to help, I want to encourage other people to help me. I want to encourage other people to be blessed by this ministry. Is it cheerful or is it bitter, bitterness? God loves a cheerful servant. I was talking with someone about funerals because I've been doing a lot of funerals. We've been attending a lot of funerals. And this person asked me, you've been doing so many, don't you get depressed eventually? You know, you go and you serve and don't you get depressed? I said, no, I don't get depressed. I look at it as an opportunity. A lot of people look at it as a burden. I look at it as an opportunity to serve people and to share the gospel message with people that don't know God. People that don't come to my church or any church. And so it's one of the few times they will listen to me. So I look at it as an opportunity. It's a chance to plant seeds in people's hearts, to show compassion and care for families that might not be believers. So I do it cheerfully as much as I can. I look for opportunity. Doesn't mean it's not time consuming and tiring, but it's good work because it's God's work. Every work we do, we should be cheerful and joyful about because it is God's good work. You're going to make a difference for eternity if you serve cheerfully. So for 2019, will you be faithful? Will you say to God today, God, I want to be faithful in these areas and all other areas, faithful in my Bible reading, faithful in my prayer time, faithful in my devotion, faithful in my worship attendance, worship, corporate worship and my giving, faithful in my serving. Will you be faithful to God? Or will you allow Satan to slowly lull you into laziness? You know, we get lazy, we sink in that lazy boy chair, and that's what Satan wants for us. But we have to choose to make a commitment, be consistent, and do it cheerfully. Brothers and sisters, will you be faithful? Maybe for some of you, I want to ask you this, will 2019 be the year that you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You've been thinking about it, you've been pondering it, you know, it just takes a step of faith, an act of commitment to say, Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross for my sins, and you rose from the dead, and I believe in you. I want to follow you all the way to heaven. Brothers and sisters, don't wait to make a commitment to the Lord. Before we close, I want to just show you this next slide. This is our theme for 2019. The pastor decided to have a theme to guide us, and it's Be the Difference. For 2019, be the difference. It isn't make a difference, you be the difference. And it's based on Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world, not me. You are the light of the world. And you are to let your love shine brightly. Stop hiding it. Many of us, we hide it more often than we let it shine. Let your light shine with good deeds, and God will be glorified. Be the difference. You start by being faithful. Let's go in the Lord in prayer. Father, you've touched our hearts of the past few months with the pastors and the desire to call the church to be the difference this year, that each of us will examine our hearts and be the difference in your kingdom, in somebody's life especially, in somebody else's life. We will be the difference. And we know, Lord, that begins when we are faithful. Only by being faithful can we be the difference. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today that they will search their hearts and do a careful exam of who they are. They open your word and hold their lives against it to compare, to see where we're lacking. Maybe we need to come to worship with expectation and anticipation. Maybe we need to look at our giving statement and realize that we could do better. Maybe we need to see where we're serving and realize we are not even praying for someone in need. We need to start praying and looking for ways to serve. So, Father, for 2019, I pray that we stand up and be the difference, and that we start by being faithful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our invitation song, and if I can encourage you or pray with you in any ways, please come forward. Let's stand as we sing.